Welcome to Wisdom Work, where we talk to people who are integrating their work selves with their spiritual journey. I am your host, Quinita Robertson. I work with the Divine Feminine to bring forgiveness and reconciliation to the world. I earn more than I want doing what I love in service to the highest good. In this podcast, we ask the question, which do you choose, change or transformational growth? The choice is yours. This choice will make the difference. This choice has the power to move you from stuck to inspired, from pain to joy, isolation to community, theory to practice, and from ordinary living to extraordinary living. Hello, welcome to Wisdom Work, and I'm Quinita Robertson, your host, and today we're lucky enough to have Alton Fitzgerald White, who some of you may know was the longest running Mufasa in The Lion King on Broadway. He's done lots of other stuff. But the reason that I really wanted to invite him to this space is because I just think he's an amazing person. And I'm one that gets to meet a lot of people and work in a lot of places. And he inspires me. And not many people that I meet in this way am I really just inspired by the way they live their life, not necessarily just the life that they live. So welcome, Alton. I'm glad to have you here. And I just want to invite you first to just say a couple words about, you know, where are you in your life right now? That whatever you want to share, I want to give you a little space to do that.
Okay. Well, thank you, Quinita, for having me. And thank you for pronouncing my name correctly. You said Alton, not Alton. People always want to say Alton, really formal, but I'm like, I'm from good old Cincinnati. Good old Midwestern Alton. Yeah. So thank you for that. I am in the best part of my life, I feel. You know, I'm one of those who I don't quite understand, but have compassion for people. Like when I ask them how old they are, they have issues with it. Well, I don't tell people. And I'm like, but you're still here. And I'm like, okay, I don't get too deep into it. But for me, every year has gotten better and richer. And not just materially, but spiritually. In terms of more and more things that I know for sure, based on my experience, based on my constitution, the more I mature, the less I hear other voices telling me what I should be doing or where I should be in my life. And I hear my own voice. I hear my soul saying, no, you get to define what success is for you, whether it's your lifestyle, whether it's your career, anything.
Yeah.
So for me, every year gets richer. I'm going to be 59 in less than a month, and I cannot wait because every year gets richer and better and deeper. And for me, simpler. Mm-hmm. And the more mature I become, the less things I want, the less complicated, less complications I want, the less drama I want. So I'm in a really, really good place. Before we went on air, I was telling you, I just came from, I practice hot yoga, which is tough. It's a tough practice being in a room that's 105 degrees, you know, balancing, but at the same time, balance is key. To me, that's one of the keys to life. You know, balancing disappointments with joy, balancing success with taking time off so that you can smell the roses. And Bikram hot yoga is one of those, is the one practice that the whole practice is you in a room, looking at yourself in the mirror, and making peace with what you see and being patient with what you see. And so I'm in a great place. I'm feeling good today. I ran here from class to get here on time to be with you. So I'm in a great place to be open and share.
Yeah. I love what you said about age. I'll be 52 this year. And one of the things I always say is I want
you kids, every you year. Children.
Yeah. I'm for every year. Like it's, you know, and yes, I think it gets simpler. That doesn't mean it's always easy,
right.
But it does get simpler as you get, as I found, as I get mm-hmm. older, I'm clear about what works and what doesn't work. I'm clear about who I am.
Mm-hmm.
And so that makes my yeses and my noes clear.
Yeah. It's like, so you agree with me about defining what everything means to you. I mean, I think we need our guys, we need our teachers, our parents to tell us what to do at a certain point. But I think many adults forget that you always have choices.
Yes.
That what your parents taught you is one thing, but life is going to teach you a whole other sets of things. And you get that much more to choose from.
Yeah.
I think a lot of people get intimidated by the responsibility. Mm-hmm. That's why people fall into groups and religions and organize things like that, because some people can't, maybe they're not ready to handle the responsibility of making their own choices. But I think there's a price you pay for that.
Yeah.
But I think the reward for taking that road less traveled, so to speak, and defining it for yourself is so rich and leaves you with so many more options and surprises.
Yeah.
Wonderful surprises.
Yeah. I often say that, you know, in a time where we talk so much about, you know, what's your truth and what's my truth, I think all of our task is to include as many truths in our assessment of what is true for us.
For us so, as individuals.
Yes. Yeah. Yep. And so, like, we have access, you know, but it's like we can see part of the picture, but we can't see all of it. And so as we mature, we're able to hold and consider other perspectives in our assessment of what's true and then therefore what's best for us.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Based on your life, not based on anybody who looks like you, based on you as an individual.
Yes, definitely.
Yeah.
That to me is some of what freedom is, right?
Mm-hmm. And I mean, it's a courageous act. It takes a lot of courage and strength of character to do it, but yeah, the rewards are so, so wonderful.
Yeah. I want to share your book with people. It's My Pride. And I, first of all, I have the hard copy and I listened to the audio version of it. So I loved hearing you read it. Thank you. I love a couple of things. One of the things I'll name is that you wrote this as the Black man that you are with the experiences that you've had. Mm-hmm. And I felt such honesty and openness in your sharing.
Thank you.
And I know that's not always easy to do. You know, the book that I wrote, The Underground Railroad, where I share a lot of my stories, to let people in that way, I think it can be challenging and such a gift.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's some lessons that you talked about learning in this book. Can you share just a couple of them with us that you want to highlight here?
Sure. First, if you can don't mind, I'd like to say the full title of
the book. Yes.
My Pride, Mastering Life's Daily Performance.
Yes.
Because I think wherever we are in our lives, we're all doing the best we can. And anything we're working toward takes a daily recommitment and recommitment and recommitment. It's like not like you decide, okay, I'm going to be this now. I'm going to do this now. And that's it.
Yes.
Every time you wake up, you got to go, okay, I'm going to be this again, so on. And then the next day, it takes that consistent commitment to make something happen. Yet at the same time, having compassion for ourselves that we are doing the best we can in the moment, going toward whatever we're reaching toward.
Yes.
In terms of lessons, man, there's so many lessons. I don't even know where to start. I guess the biggest lesson I learned and I'm grateful for, being a kid who grew up in the projects of Cincinnati, youngest of seven kids, alcoholic father, the only other person in the house who looked like me, who seemed to reject me, which felt like rejection. But then once I got older, realizing that alcohol is a disease and that as personal as things felt as a kid, a lot of it wasn't personal. But as a kid, I needed a father. I needed that guidance. So I had to kind of find, I got it from my sisters and my mother, and I had to define manhood for myself and dealt with lots of challenges, lots of different kinds of abuses. And one thing one of the major things that I'm really grateful for is that I seem to have come into this lifetime with a kind of resilience and an optimism that I didn't even have the words to describe as a kid. So no matter what I was going through, and also being painfully shy, like the kind of kids who was, my last name was White. I was in the back of the class with the other kids whose names were near the end of the alphabet. And I'd have the right answer, but be afraid to raise my hand to give it because I don't want to draw attention to myself because I'd be teased and bullied. Oh, you think you're this, you think you're that. So I keep it to myself. And thank God I had teachers to go, no, Alton, what is it? You know this. So I was that kind of shy. But somehow I had a kind of resilience to know that everything was going to be okay through my fantasies, through this gut feeling that going against the grain was going to lead me to where I wanted to be. You know, as a kid, we want to be a part of a group. We want to belong. I didn't belong. I was a smart kid and living in the projects. I was mannerable because I was raised by mostly women. So I please and thank you. I learned to speak well because TV was one of my teachers. I didn't have a lot of friends to play with in my neighborhood. So thank God for my imagination and television. I learned how to speak well. I was teased about all of those things. None of those things were cool in the projects. But when I got to school, the teachers were like, no, it's great that you speak well. I was always the one chosen to narrate. You know, we do the school plays and it'll elementary, and I want to be the little piggy. And it's like, no, Alton, you're going to narrate. And I felt like rejection. I was like, man, but am I not talented? Do I not have what it takes to just even say a few lines on stage? Looking back on it, I'm grateful that my teachers don't recognize, Alton, you speak well. No, this is a good thing. This is a good part. But I was teased about that too. You think you're smart. I was a teacher's pet. You know, teachers parented me, which a lot of, and nowadays they just aren't allowed to do for so many different reasons. But I'm grateful that I was able to benefit from that. So all of that led into my resilience and helped me believe that there was something better waiting for me beyond what I could see in the projects, in the misery. And I'm grateful that to have been born with that, to have come here into this plane with that tool. And that has continued to carry me. I mean, all those experiences from my childhood. I mean, the great thing, sometimes it's painful to look back, but there's yin and yang in everything, right?
Yes.
Sometimes it's painful to go back, but there are also lessons to learn to go, wow, I'm not there anymore. Yeah. And if I survived that as a kid, then there's nothing that can hold me down as an adult with what I've learned since then.
Yes, yes. What, you know, so much of what I hear in your story in so many ways is my story too. One of the things I was looking at when you graduated, and you actually graduated the year before I started performing arts. And so we weren't ever in the building at the same time, but I knew of you, you know, even if it was just alumni days and those kind of things and seeing you around but your story so resonated as part of my story, you know, and I was one of those kids. I was my mother's only child. Mm-hmm. And so I was by myself a lot, you know, I would play by myself a lot and knew how to do that. My parents were 15 going on 16 when I was born.
Wow.
And so, you know, I had very young parents. So when I was old enough to be home by myself, I was home by myself a lot. Mm-hmm. And so the school and my teachers would be like that parenting kind of would have me come help put up the billboards or the boards and, you know, after school or before school. And I helped out in the office at school and then going to performing arts when I got there, you know, I was shy. I was really a shy kind of quiet kid. And I was a vocal music major. And then for a year I was in music theater, but I didn't make it the second year. And I think part of it is because I was so shy. I couldn't step up. And then in classrooms, I was smart, but I didn't know then I was dyslexic. I struggled in class.
Okay.
And so that made me feel too, that kind of, you know, withdrawn. And there was something in me, some resilience, that there was something that I knew that was more, you know, that it wasn't just there. I say I started my healing journey at 15.
Let me ask you something. How did that show up for you? How did your resilience, like in what form? Yeah. Was it a feeling? Was it certain things that happened to let you know that it was going to be okay?
I think some of it was, my abuse came out early. I'm an incest survivor. My stepfather, actually, and my mother became Jehovah's Witnesses, and he confessed to her.
Wow.
And so all of a sudden, then I had to deal with, how did I feel about this? And I told my therapist and it was reported. And so then the prosecutors said it was up to me about whether they prosecuted or not.
What age were you?
I was 15.
Making that kind of decision at 15?
Yes. And so I think it was performing arts actually that gave me the courage to think that I could. You know, because that summer I spent and I decided what was I going to do? And decided that if no one else would stand up for me, that I needed to.
There you go. I love it.
And so went to court and he was sentenced 90 days to be served on weekends. So I lived with him during the week and he went to jail on the weekends.
Wow.
And I ended up signing my lease to my first apartment on my 18th birthday and moving out.
Yeah. Wow.
But there was that piece like, there was something that knew I had to make a choice. Like either I was gonna be here with me or not.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know?
And find my way. And I always say I made a choice about 19. Either I was gonna not be here, I was gonna die, fast or slow, didn't matter. Or if I was gonna stay here, I wasn't gonna half-ass it. I was gonna learn what it really meant to be alive.
Yeah, yeah, you know? I love it. That's fantastic.
Yeah, and so that's the journey for me.
What a lift off! What a springboard! I mean, because you can see it. Some people, you know, and it's compassion for those who do this can get stuck in that kind of and the tragedy of it.
Yeah.
But for you to take ownership and make that kind of choice and be an advocate for yourself at that age is like, that's pretty tremendous.
Yeah. Well, like I said, I think part of it too was I was in a community that a performing arts, often they treated us like we could do anything.
Yeah, I agree with that. Yes.
So there was that part of me that felt like I could,
Performing arts, I mean, school teachers saved my life. School saved my life. Before I went, after going to, went to Douglas Elementary in Walnut Hills, and I was with the same kids in my neighborhood who bullied me and teased me because my father, you know, would come down the street staggering. I couldn't get a break. And then I got a chance to go to People's Junior High in Hyde Park and be with smart kids. So like suddenly all the things I was teased about, oh, you talk funny, you talk white, so-and-so, I was being welcomed for. Like my first year at People's, I was voted onto, I was in the Honor Society, I was voted onto Student Council, I was chosen as one of two students in the entire school to pick a new vice principal. Like, so suddenly all these things I've been teased about all my life were suddenly like, I was being praised for. Mm-hmm. And it was like, so I started to develop my academics and I'd have shame about being a smart kid. And then going to performing arts, I developed my personality. It helped me to break my shyness because suddenly there were other kids who were creative, who used their imagination, who were dramatic, who saw things, you know, in a big way. And I love that you just reminded me of that, that it was a different kind of community that made us feel like we could do anything.
Yes.
You know, it was all about being an advocate for yourself, being surrounded by so many like-minded, talented kids, but also the competition. Yeah. Knowing that, if you want to hang in there, you better get over that shyness.
Yeah.
You better learn to, you better find a way to make it happen because someone else will get that slot in a really healthy way.
Yes.
Yeah. Thank you for that reminder.
You're welcome. And I think it was, and it shows up in us each differently. Like there's in the leadership work that I do, one of the things I think is that the arts require you to go inside and bring what's inside out. Yeah. So I said, we at Performing Arts got to bear witness to each other's hearts on a daily basis.
Yeah.
And that changes you and it changes how you show up in spaces. Mm-hmm. And even though, I talk about not being able to get over my shyness in some places at Performing Arts, I use what I learned there in the work that I do every day. Mm-hmm. I was actually at one point I was in Brazil and I was doing the keynote for the National Diversity Conference in Brazil. And I hosted about 10 circles in 2 weeks and one standing in the, in Sabará in the, Capitol building. And the vice mayor there welcomed me in and said that this is your home. And what I said to him in the moment was, I said, how wonderful to be so graciously received, knowing that in the 1700s, the people who built this building, the only difference between them and my ancestors is which boat they got on. And we went from there to an orphanage and I was doing a circle with a group of kids. And I remember coming back and sending a message to a couple of our teachers, Mr. Stahl and I think it was Miss Yanka, it was a couple of them. And I just thanked them. I thanked them for instilling in me the ability to move so seamlessly from one community to the next, next, and feel like I can be there and not like I fit in.
That's beautiful. Yeah. That's really, really beautiful.
What are some of the things that you're finding that are challenging you now?
Thank you for listening to this podcast. At this time, we're going to take a moment to invite you to an upcoming event.
Hello, I'm Juanita Robertson, and I'm here with Amy Houghton. And we're going to be your conductors for the Underground Railroad Retreat that's happening on June 21st through 25th at Hope Springs Institute. Amy, can you tell a little bit about what we're inviting people into?
Yes. Well, first of all, I'm so excited to be conducting with you in this way. You know, we're inviting people into a deep dive embodied experience of the story that has been both working its way through us and that we've been authoring. This is the first time that we've done this. And part of what I'm really excited about in terms of this is an opportunity for people to make the journey in community, which is so powerful. And with you and I holding it as conductors, for me, I love that of course we're conductors. And it's this energetic kind of vibrational, I think, experience that they'll be able to actually really sink into their own healing journey. They're in this place that has been so important in this story, in this book, again, held by you and I and in community. And then the other thing I'll say about this experience is the timing of it. So it's June the 21st to the 25th, as you said, and it's literally will start on summer solstice, and it's the week of Juneteenth. Yeah. So all these things, you know, it feels like the stars are aligning for people to make this embodied experience of healing and reconciliation and reclaiming power and love and liberation in their lives, in our lives.
Yeah, and I think it's easy to think in the underground or, you know, Underground Railroad, because we connect it to the Underground Railroad, is that it's just for people of color. And so I just want to explicitly say that this is a journey that we each individually get to take to claim our own freedom. So we invite you to join us. If you want more information, you can go to akanpublishing.com. Akan Publishing is AKAN Publishing, and join us.
Yes.
Now back to Juanita and Alton.
It's interesting. That's a great question. Learning what to do with free time. That is really like one of my biggest challenges. I'm so used to being, I love being productive. I love feeling like I've accomplished something, big or small. Finding that balance. It's funny, I just posted something on social media yesterday. Balance is key. And that's something I'm constantly working on. And I have very few days where I do nothing. You know, I like being productive, but I'm realizing that I've got to find a way to create that balance. You know, I'm getting better at it. I'll give you a perfect example. And I mean, like, you know, balance needs to happen whether life is going really, really well or life is being challenging. Give you an example. A couple of weeks ago, I did a show here in New York, my first nightclub act in New York in about 10 years. And I was like, and I had a lot of work leading up to that. And I thought, okay, after that, as a gift to myself, I'm going to go to somebody's beach and I'm just going to lay there for 2 days. I really need the ocean. I need to see it. I need to hear it. I need the sand. I need that whole atmosphere to just exhale in that way. The oceans do it for me and the mountains do it for me. And when I've been away from either one too long, they call me. So I was like, I need some ocean. Yeah. And I had everything set. And then I wound up getting an audition for, and I had just written to my agents, my commercial agents. And I was like, how do I word this? Because I had an audition in months. And I was like, hey guys, this is Alton. So am I on punishment? Have I been blacklisted? What's up? I've had an audition in a couple of months. And they were like, no, you're not being punished. Things are just really slow starting off, but you know, things will pick up soon. Like, okay. The next week they're like, hey, here's an audition for a commercial. And I had things already planned. I had an afternoon plan. I was going to hop in a car, because when I get burnt out, I rent a car and I drive north to Bear Mountain to hug some trees or to see some bodies of water. And I was like, okay, well, so much for that. I asked the universe for an opportunity. My name can't be picked if my name is not in the hat. Stopped everything, yes. Put it on tape, went on. The day before my show, I get an email from the casting director, which is rare because normally you hear from your agent going, hey, we want to see you for a callback tomorrow. And I'm like, interesting. Like, I might actually book this. Like, they're calling me, they're emailing me directly on a Sunday. You know, Monday morning, my email, hey, my agent's like, you have a call back this afternoon. Did the call back, did my show that evening. The next morning I woke up, you booked the job, but it would have been the same days, of course, that I was going to take my vacation. And it was like, okay, well, I want to make this commercial happen. So we did it. But I said, I found out the shooting dates and I said, okay, I'm shooting on, I'll be working on Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Monday morning. I'm canceling anything I planned. I am out of here. I'm going to take this break because I was starting to feel that this is great. I'm getting what I asked for, but I've got to balance it out with something. I'm not saying that it's too much because, you know, I believe in the abundance, but I've got to find a way to detach, to really see the beauty, to be able to smell these roses and come back with a different attitude and a different level of gratitude. My agents were like, no, you can't leave. We got this plan. I said, I am sorry. I will see you. I'll be back Wednesday afternoon. That's it. And I took that time. I was glad I did. And by the time I came back, it's like, it felt good. Now, number of times I pushed through, gone, okay, well, I'll just take the break another time. And then another time could be the next year. I've learned that's what keeps me balanced. And in the past, I would have done that and felt guilty, like, oh man, I might have missed out on something. You don't miss out on anything that's meant for you. So I was there.
Yes. I've gotten clear that that's part of the work.
The faith and the trust that what's for you will find you and will wait for you.
Yes.
So yeah, that's just an example of, you know, trying to find a balance, like, okay. And because when I don't do that, I can easily become resentful about things I ask, about getting things that I ask.
Yes.
So it's like to try to keep all that balance. And we know as individuals when we reach that point. And I've learned to not ignore it, because when I ignore it, that's when something really terrible happens. I lose my voice, I get sick, or something, I trip and fall in some kind of crazy way. It's like, nope, I want to stay present with myself. I've got to stay balanced. So that is something that I'm challenged with. But I'm learning. I'm staying courageous. I'm learning to reward myself for the effort, the different levels of being thankful and being courageous and all that.
Yes, and tending to yourself, right? Because the yoga is one way you do that. The taking time off, you know, there's lots of different layers of that
we cooking do. For myself. You know, there are many times I go, I'm going to treat myself. I'm going to go out and take myself to a nice meal. And you've seen on Facebook, I love to eat. I'm very much a
fan. Yes.
Yeah. But now it's been great because it's like, I'll give myself the option. Then go, you know what? Maybe I'll do like a hybrid version. I'll go to a great gourmet shop and get something that's sort of prepared, and I'll bring it home and doctor it up. And then that's a meditation for me to go, okay, what can I do with this to make it better, to personalize? And then I taste and go, oh my God, look at this. I present it to myself beautifully, like I would in a restaurant. Those are ways of nurturing myself and keeping myself balanced.
Yes. I notice when I'm not traveling as much, I love that I get to have fresh fruits and vegetables in my house because they don't go bad by the time I'm back, right? When I'm not traveling a lot. And so taking advantage of like the cooking for myself during those times and, you know, instead of when I'm traveling. Right. I love that. You know, I love these pieces about, especially, I won't say especially because I think all of us are in this culture that, has us go, 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 go. And I actually think it's a form of violence.
Wow. Yeah. Yeah. Self-inflicted. Yeah. And self-inflicted and, you know, heavily influenced by outside forces. Yeah.
Of course. Yes. Because we're told that's normal, right? You go, 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 go. Yeah. And, but we each have different, even body rhythms. Like of what time of the day is more of a power time for you than others. And so, and there's cycles of things, you know, that we go through and feel, and to be able to allow ourselves to kind of move at the pace of nature.
Yeah. It's challenging to not go into automatic. Takes courage. That in itself takes courage to go, no, let me be mindful of where I am. Easily go zip, 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 but like, no, let me really be present. And which also like means like, let me know when, okay, I need to take a break. Let me step back and then come back to it with a fresh thought. All of that takes courage because you're right. Those outside forces are like, no, sleep, rest. Are you kidding me?
Yeah.
You should be doing it all.
When life is abundant, sometimes we have to say no to good things. So it's not just saying no to bad things.
Yeah. Right?
It's like, and for other good things, it might be the other good thing is rest, mm-hmm. or the other good thing is vacation, or the other good thing is, you know, but that choice. You know, how have you seen, one of the things I like about this podcast, or why I've decided to do this particular one, is that it's focused on people who have integrated their spiritual lives with their work lives. How has that shown up for you?
It's shown up for me in that I don't really follow anything organized anymore, that that the energy of things is more, has become more important. I'm blessed to live in Harlem, and I have a beautiful tree right in front of my home that I know feeds me, that I know advises me. I am very connected to nature, so I see spirit in everything. I see spirit in when I lock eyes with someone, a stranger on the train, and we smile at each other or not. I go, wow, there's a connection. There's something on a deep level. We see each other, or maybe we remember each other. That's where I get mine. I get my messages. I mean, the more open I am, the more I get it every day and from different kinds of ways. And I do take that into my work. And it's helped me as an actor in a field where rejection is very, very high, where it's hard to not take things personally. Getting my validation from other kinds of sources. A lot of it is self-validation. I mean, everything we're talking about, or that we talked about so far, is about like knowing yourself for sure, knowing what works for you, being able, having the strength and courage and faith to personalize, you know, what things mean to you, while at the same time finding a balance of getting along with other people, because we all do need community. Yeah. So the more I do that, the more it gives me confidence to show up as who I feel I am. And fight off, not fight off, I don't like that word fight, but what's the word? Because words are important. To not be infected as easily by other people's expectations or perceptions of me as a man, as a Black man, as an actor, as a successful actor, because that's a whole other thing. People see your life, especially with social media, and they think they know you. And but knowing who I am and having good friends who know who I really am outside of what I do, who know my heart, who know my intentions, who know what's important to me. All those things, I feel like the more, again, we were talking earlier about the beauty of defining yourself for yourself is that when somebody challenges your character, you don't even argue. You go, wow, interesting. That's how you see it. I'm not even going to argue with you because you have no idea. And I have nothing to defend because you don't know what you're talking about. Yeah. It's based on your perception. But if you don't know yourself, you know, I was younger, of course, on the journey to getting to where I am now. You started defending yourself. No, I did this and I meant that, so-and-so. Okay, I'm not going to argue with you.
Yes.
Whether it's a conflict, whether it's, you know, if you know your intentions and you and your higher power, whatever that means for you, however you define it, knows your intentions, that's all the validation you really need. The rest will eventually play out.
Yeah.
That's just the yin and yang of life.
I saw you here recently. You had come into town and we were at a memorial service for
David Stahl,
former teacher David Stahl. Yes. And I remember we ran into each other right before
I
was.
You're the first person I saw right at the park. Yeah.
Yes. And I said something to you about, oh, how you're such an inspiration to me. And one of the things you said was, oh, well, we're all just trying to figure it out.
We're all reflections for each other. Yeah.
And what I actually, that kind of spurred me and encouraged me to invite you onto this podcast because I know so often when we're in these particular places, people will hold us like on this pedestal, like we're not human in some ways. And I wanted you to know that that's not what I was doing with you. That when I reach out and say that I'm inspired by you, that it comes from a different place.
I believe that.
That's what it comes from this place of knowing that we're all trying to find our way. And that
let me tell you, Cornita, like I'm asked to do these all the time. And most times I go, no, I just don't. I'm just busy. When you asked, I was like, okay. energetically was like, yeah, something I need to do. And then I started getting busy, and then something said, reach out to her, because I mean, I'm about to really do a whole, I'm about to go into like overdrive. I'm directing for the first time, something big, and starring in it at the same time. There's a lot happening in the next few weeks. I was like, do it now. And again, it's not out of obligation. It's pure intuitive energy. So I hear you. I believe you when you say that. And I am here because you didn't even have to say that. Yeah.
Yes. Thank you. And there's a way in which our culture is such an adolescent adult culture. Mm-hmm. And so for me, I think it's important for people to experience what I call a grown ass men. And I think there's a way in which, and it's part of what you've been speaking about, a way in which when we're grown ass people, we take responsibility for ourselves. You know, we are more likely to ask the question of, why is this happening for me, instead of why is this happening to me?
Mm-hmm. Right.
And so we get very different answers. And I just, you know, and I wanted to have a conversation with you, you know, because I do watch you, and I do pay attention to how generous
you
are. You know, and that's something that inspires me, because I want to be, I want to be more generous in my relationships with people. I have a cousin, his name is Davin, and he's a musician. And I just love that he has healthy masculine in him, and he's so generous. And I was telling him, I have a little bit of our granny, Eloise, so I can like get snappy real quick sometimes, and learning to slow down myself and to know that it's all between me and the divine.
Yes. Yeah. Your divine. Yeah.
Yes.
Not anybody else's, not anybody who says it, but this is what it is. No, you're what it means to you.
Yeah. Yeah. Because the divine is big enough to be specifically for you in the ways that you need, and specifically for me in the ways that
exactly.
I need. And so, you know, and part of my work, even in working, I do a leadership rites of passage cohort for adults, a 16-month journey. And one of the things that I say to them is, it's not about them being more like me. It's about how to support them in finding themselves. Yeah. And that we can do that, we always do it in community. You know, our wounds happen in community, so the healing has to happen in that way.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. I love what you said about the divine. I, in terms of spirit, I used to think, you know, when I was involved with organizations, that spirit was about something judging me and something, you know, pointing me in the right direction, but also judging every step. And now I see divine as purely an advocate, you know, an energy that wants, a knowing that wants the best for me, you know, that wants me to have what I need. I'll get what I want, but I'll definitely get what I need. Sustain me to keep me growing, to keep me moving forward, to keep me courageous, to keep me open, to keep me joyful. When I think of happiness, I think of something temporary, something comes and goes. When I think of joy, I think of something that's at my foundation that I can continue to feed. So that when I have the challenges, I can tap back into the joy and go, yeah, you know, for the most part, things are friggin' fantastic. Yeah, there's this and that, but at the foundation, oh, there's so much comfort to just kind of lay and rest in when I need to. And talking, getting back to earlier about finding that balance, I remind myself when I have those moments of being overwhelmed, whether it's by a challenge or through great things happening, that joyful bed is there waiting for me. All I have to do is just remember, oh, that's right. I'm not going to miss anything if I just lay here. I'm not going to miss anything if I just take a day off or take a couple of days. I'm not going to miss anything.
Yeah.
I'll be right there. Yeah. And the people who try to project guilt or whatever onto me, they will be fine.
Yes. I always say the work is kind. It'll wait. It'll sit on my desk until I get to it. And grown people can take
care of themselves. Grown people will be okay. Yeah.
Yes. 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 So, as we come to kind come to a close here, is there something that you want to share that I haven't
asked? Well, I'd like to share that I'm about to do something that is very, very important to me. I'm doing a benefit concert in Cincinnati at my high school, Performing Arts, on Friday, April 14th, 4 days after my birthday. Aries. Aries, love being Aries. What can I say? At the school at 7 o'clock. I think it's 7 or maybe 6. Anyway, I'll send you a flyer.
I'll post the information. I've seen it and I'll make sure that we
add. And that is something that's very important to me. I'm at a place in my life where I've been thinking a lot about legacy. And not in terms of like, not just, I mean, I'll admit, I do want my name to carry on, but yeah. I do mainly like, what do I want to do with my resources? I've worked very hard my entire life. My resources, I don't have any children. I have lots of young people that I mentor who are like kids to me. But what kind of legacy do I want to leave? And one of them is a scholarship fund. So I started a scholarship fund years ago when I came through Cincinnati as Mufasa the Lion King back in 2002. The first time we came through Cincinnati, I did a show at the old building and established a scholarship there. And then I'm fading away because, you know, management changed and then the new school was built. And this one I'm calling the Alton Fitzgerald White Scholarship Fund. It's something that I've already funded. So it's already like some students will already benefit for years. But this is something that I want other people to contribute to if they like. Because when I announced it, many folks were like, oh, how can I contribute? I thought, oh, wow, that's great. This is something that people who just want to give and share can do. So I'm doing a big concert to kick it off the 14th. I'm doing it because I can do it, but I'm also doing it because when I was at Performing Arts, you know, I grew up in the projects. I always wanted to play the violin as a kid, but I knew not to even ask my parents because it simply was not, we couldn't afford it. It would have been like, you want to what? I just knew, don't even ask. This is not even an option. But falling in love with singing at Performing Arts, someone came to me and said, hey, would you like private voice lessons? And I was like, yeah, but I get, don't worry about but.
Yeah.
They'll be free for you. And that made all the difference in my confidence as a singer, as a shy kid who loved to sing, who didn't know that I could sing, but loved the sensation of singing. It gave me a different kind of knowing, a different kind of confidence. And I want to provide that for some students who are passionate about the arts, passionate about expressing themselves in that way, to let them know, hey, if you got the passion, we'll help you from there. So that's very, very important to me and something that I'm looking very forward to. Something else, other news I love to share is one of my favorite roles I've ever done was Cold House Walker Jr. in Ragtime. I got to do... open the national tour. I actually did in Toronto with the original company for 8 months and then as Cold House and then opened the national tour and then closed the original company on Broadway and got to be on the show poster, which is one of my all-time dreams come true. I get a chance to sing the role again for the first time in 25 years with the Boston Pops. I'm singing with them in May at the Boston Pops. I'm singing with them I'm going to be a part of the big 4th of July celebration, which is being televised. And I'm singing the role at Tanglewood, a gorgeous theater, outdoor theater in Massachusetts. And I'm going to be performing it with the Cincinnati Pops. And I'm also directing that production.
Oh, wonderful.
So there's a lot going on. I feel like it's just going to be, it's going to be a great time to celebrate being a Cincinnatian this year. Being my concert, being back at the school, being back with the Cincinnati Opera. It's going to be just Cincinnati Opera. I keep saying Cincinnati Opera. CSO. Cincinnati Symphony. Yeah, Cincinnati Pops. So
yeah.
Those are great things. I'm really looking forward to. Anyone, I hope that you all will come to my benefit concert. And if not, you can contribute, you know, the same page where you fill out to buy a ticket at the very bottom of that page is where you can donate. And no donation is too small.
I so love that you're doing the benefit
concert. Me too.
There's a friend of mine who says this, and I say it to the people I work with. I'm gifting this through you, not to you.
Yeah. Oh, I like that.
And so that's what it reminded me of when you said someone did it for you. They're gifting it through you.
Absolutely.
You know, and that the way that I repay my elders is often by helping someone else. It's not necessarily to do it for them.
Right. Yeah. Pay it forward. Yeah.
Yeah. Yes. So I definitely will include that information so people can.
Thank you. Rick Hand, who was a former student and now teaches there. He played for my first concert 20 years ago when I came through with Lion King. You'll be playing for me again. We're actually going to be on the morning show on Channel 12 next Friday. I'm flying in next weekend to start rehearsals with him. We're going to do that morning show on Friday, then checking on my mama. I'm a mama's boy. Gotta get home.
Yes. I know. I keep trying to get invited to one of those dinners.
You know what's great is that now I cook for her, which I love. Wonderful. Like, I love spoiling her, baking for her, cooking for her. So I'm already figuring out
watching you spoil
the
menu
that I want to, you know, do for her when I'm home next weekend.
Lovely.
Thank you. My book. If anybody's interested in purchasing my book, go to the best place to get it. You can get it on Amazon, but if you go up to my website, altonfitzgeraldwhite.com, you can get a signed copy. I'll personalize it and I will send it. Yeah. The postage is already included. The postage is on me. All you'll be paying for is the price of the book. That's altonfitzgeraldwhite.com to get the book. I have the audio book, which I gratefully read. It's interesting. I've read other authors' books before, so it was surreal to get to read my own book. And I also have a CD, a Disney My Way CD, of great Disney tunes that I helped to rearrange and finance myself. I actually got the rights from Disney to do the CD. So all those things can be found at AlsonFitzgeraldWhite.com. I'll sign them, send them to you for you or gifts for someone you love. It's all available.
Well, and we'll continue to look out for things.
Look, I'm on social media, Alton Fitzgerald White Fan Club, Alton2459 at Instagram. I post a lot of things. I'm not one of those who likes to list what I'm doing. I just go, it's all online. And I also like to post positive things just to remind us that we're all, as I said to you when I saw you a few weeks ago, we're all examples for each other.
Yes.
Yeah.
So thank you for your
time.
My
pleasure. Thank you for inviting me.
You're so welcome. And until next time.
Yes, and there will be a next time.